This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, the Dan Mason Show on News Talk 780, KOH. And KKOH.com.
Welcome back, hour two of the Tuesday edition of the Dan Mason Show here at News Talk 780 KOH. You can catch up with us on our social media pages. Just go to KKOH.com and click the links. Email, always available. If you'd like to drop us a line, danmason@kkoh.com. I don't know about you, but I got anger issues. Ask anybody that knows me. An awful lot of people across America that have anger issues in varying degrees. The African-American community is angry about injustice in law enforcement as they perceive. White community is angry about illegal immigration, corruption in the political system, a lousy economic recovery, lots of stuff. And when people get frustrated, the system has failed them. Anger is a natural result. Question is, what do we need to do to solve it? What kind of leaders do we need to help us? Rabbi Yonason Goldman is here to help us sort through it. He is the author of Proverbial Beauty, Secrets for Success and Happiness from the Wisdom of the Ages, featuring the Mona Lisa on the cover. I love it. Rabbi, welcome to the program. Thank you very much for the time today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Mr. Mason.
So we've got an awful lot of anger in our country. We're all grinding our teeth at everything that's going on, and sadly, we don't seem to be doing much to resolve it, do we?
No. Well, you said it very clearly in your introduction that anger is a result of a sense of injustice. We think things aren't going the way we want them to or the way they should go, and that leads to anger. But the first question we have to ask is, are we justified? Sometimes things aren't going our way, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're wrong in a universal sense. And then the second question you already said also is, what do we do about it once we're angry? Because there's a great line in Remember the Titans. Denzel Washington is talking to his players. He says, you're angry, that's good. But any little kid can have a temper tantrum.
Right.
You have to take that anger, you have to channel it, you have to harness it, and you have to do something productive with it.
Okay, so how do we do it? Because, trust me, I'm looking for a little personal help here, too. I could use a little help in that department. I think we all could, but as a country, it's causing serious problems for us, isn't it?
Yeah, and what I really started seeing something in the last couple of days, because everybody's been talking about the same theme. I think I heard it first from Carly Fiorina. The Donald Trump phenomenon is a reaction to people are mad.
Right.
We don't trust the system. We don't think the politicians are going to make it better for us. So is Donald Trump the answer? That's really the question. The problem with anger is that it destroys our objectivity. It makes us impatient. It prevents us from seeing a bigger picture. It makes us lose context. And it also makes us turn to anyone or anything that promises to let us vent that anger or offers any kind of easy solution. So ultimately, what we end up doing is we turn to demigods. It's fascinating because the Talmud says that anger is a form of idolatry. And that means, really, that we look to anything that promises something better than what we have right now, even if that's not coming from a rational point of view.
That's a great way to put it, and the Bible shows us clearly that in history that was a problem, and God punished people for it as a result. So that's certainly is something we want to stay away from, absolutely. And it's not just Donald Trump either, of course, is he? You know, we've had Ferguson, we've had Baltimore, we see that anger boil over into violence, that frustration. You know, some of that is not just from people being angry and frustrated, it's from people who just want to burn and loot. But we've got plenty of examples of it. How do we promote a positive debate that might move us down the road to solving some of this?
Well, the only way we can really start is on an individual level. We can't start by changing the whole country because not everybody's invested in doing the things that are necessary to harness that anger, to channel it into something productive. It's so depressing when you see these political tirades, and really coming from both sides, that vilify the other side. So, mm-hmm. so the first way to start is when you have a disagreement with somebody. You know, it can be in your own family, it can be your friends, it can be in the workplace. Articulate, don't vociferate. In other words, when you start shouting, when you start calling names, when you start assuming negative intent, then there's really no way to find a common ground. We can be passionate without being uncivil, and we can be people of character. We could be people who stand our ground and believe in what we believe in, and still recognize that someone else might have a reasoned and reasonable view to the contrary. If that's our starting point, then we can start working towards some kind of resolution to what divides us, instead of just entrenching ourselves further and further apart from one another.
Rabbi Yonason Goldson is here. The book is entitled Proverbial Beauty, Secrets for Success and Happiness from the Wisdom of the Ages. Now, you say we have an aversion to conflict and that it's unhealthy for us. Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the major themes in the book is the phenomenon of what we've come to call groupthink, which I think is really one of the biggest problems we have. It cites another book by a fellow named Bill Bishop. It's called The Big Sword, and he shows statistically how, while the nation has become more and more evenly split in our opinions, when you look locally, everything's tilted to one side or the other. He shows that in the 2000 and the 2004 elections were two of the closest elections ever in popular vote. But when you go county by county, you find an overwhelming percentage of landslides to one side or the other.
Sure.
And what that shows is that we don't want to be around people who think differently from the way we think. And the problem with that is that we become calcified in our thinking. If I'm not willing to engage, if I'm not willing to hear the other side, then how can I possibly know for sure that I'm right? Maybe somebody who disagrees with me has a legitimate point, and I just haven't considered it. And on the other hand, how am I ever going to convince him that he's wrong if we don't make the effort to have a certain amount of respect and interaction with one another?
Okay. You know, I get that, because one of the Republican candidates for president comes to mind, Rand Paul. He has said publicly, and he has made it a point to go to places like the inner city, like Detroit and Philadelphia and places like that, because he has said basically what you just said is, if we're not going to go to these people and talk to them, we're not going to understand each other. That's essentially what you're saying.
Absolutely, and I give him tremendous credit for that. But you see how hard it is when you see what happened with Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He got drowned out by the very people that should be looking to him to represent them.
That was the reaction I had to that too. It's like the Black Lives Matter crowd, and here's Bernie Sanders, who, you're right, that you'd think there'd be an alignment there, and they're even mad at him.
Absolutely. And, you know, I give Bernie Sanders a lot of credit. I don't particularly want to see him as president.
No,
but he certainly has been consistent and articulate in his message. I think he really believes what he's saying.
Oh, he does,
which
yeah.
is unusual.
Yeah.
And I think it's also part of the attraction to Donald Trump is that, you know, he gets out there and he's flamboyant and he's charismatic and he doesn't care what anybody thinks of what he says. And people feel this is a breath of fresh air. Whether or not he's really the best person for the job may be a different discussion entirely.
Yeah, for sure. So rather than an aversion to conflict, in a sense, we've got to face it head on and deal with it.
You know, they say that one of the best ways, they're always telling us ways to keep our mind sharp, especially as we get older. We don't want to increase our chances of senility and dementia and Alzheimer's. So they say do crossword puzzles, do Sudoku. But the best way, they say, is actually to spend time with people you don't agree with.
Right.
Because when I have to explain to you what I think, and I want to actually have a meaningful conversation, then I have to stop and I have to listen to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably the best way to put it right there. Rabbi Yonason Goldson is our guest here on the Dan Mason Show at News Talk 780 KUH. I'm a complainer. And that can be kind of a problem, too. We're going to delve into that with the rabbi when we come back. 417. Stop laughing at me, boss. Right now, traffic and weather together on News Talk 780 KUH. Here's Jake Parker.
Now, back to Dan Mason. He's live and he cares. Northern Nevada's Money Show with John Sanchez today at 5 p.m. on News Talk 780 KUH.
Almost ready for another season of University of Nevada Wolfpack football. Kickoff is Thursday, September 3rd, and we will be there broadcasting live at the Thompson Garage Doors Mobile Command Center. Because it's another season of tailgating with KOH and men wielding fire. We'll have our KOH football toss game with plenty of free prizes every game. And, of course, free barbecue tasty delights from our good friends at Men Wielding Fire. New location at South Virginia and Mount Rose Street right next to Sports West. Live broadcast of the show. We'll be there for the season opener to the Pack and UC Davis. 7 o'clock kickoff and tailgating at 3 o'clock. Thursday, September 3rd on News Talk 780 KOH. Our guest is Rabbi Yonason Goldson, who has written a really interesting book called Proverbial Beauty, Secrets for Success and Happiness from the Wisdom of the Ages. Rabbi, available at Amazon.com and your website, correct?
That is correct.
That's his website is very easy, yonasongoldson.com, Y-O-N-A-S-O-N. So in the book, I'm fascinated to hear your answer to this. Most people complain because they're unhappy. At least that's what we think. But you say the opposite is actually true. They say complaining is causing their unhappiness. Explain.
Well, it's there's a lot to it, really. But maybe the simplest way of looking at it is, how much do you enjoy being around someone who does nothing but complain? They're lousy company. So if we're complaining around all the time, and we're around ourselves all the time, we're listening to ourselves complain. And what we do is really we cultivate a negative outlook on the world, and that colors everything we do. You know, we think that we have to go find. You know, I think that when Thomas Jefferson wrote that we have the right to the pursuit of happiness, you know, it's a beautiful phrase, but at the same time, there's a misconception there that happiness doesn't come by pursuing it. Happiness comes from living a fulfilled life. So if I'm engaging in something that's valuable, if I feel like I'm doing a job that has meaning, if I'm raising children, if I'm contributing to the community, then I'm going to have a sense of value, and those little things that I complain about are going to become less and less relevant. So... You know, the way we adopt a positive outlook can really put us in a frame of mind where we end up being much happier.
So that's the aspect of turning negatives into positives to a degree as well, right?
Absolutely, which is really the structure of the whole book, looking at things like pain, looking at conflict, things that we take to be negative, if we can reframe them and see how everything that appears negative in life is really just an opportunity for us to find the silver lining, or even more than the silver lining, to transform it into something that helps us become stronger, more mature, more developed people. You know, I always use the example with my students that in the Marines, you have to run obstacle courses. So why don't they just remove the obstacles, and then everybody can run the course much faster?
Sure.
Because the point is not how fast you can do it. The point is to learn to get over obstacles. So if we look at life as a training course filled with obstacles, then every time I overcome something, I'm a stronger person, I'm a better person, I'm a person who's more equipped with the next obstacle that comes along.
And that's why you say pain is good, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a physical condition that's somewhat rare, but it's not unknown, of people who don't experience pain, and it's terrible. Because pain is nature's warning system, and if we don't experience pain, we don't know anything's wrong. And on the other hand, when you go to the gym and you work out and you're sore, that's how you know you accomplished something. If you're just sitting there with 5 pound weights, you're not going to get sore. You're also not going to build any muscles.
That's right. It's the no pain, no gain, as
exactly.
They say. So
we understand it in the gym, but we don't understand it in our lives.
You know, if it was only that simple, but that you're right. That's the analogy. So what led you in this direction to write the book in the first place?
Well, I've been writing for many years, and I've written a lot for the Jewish community. But right. I wanted to take the message and I wanted to expand it to a broader audience. I think that so many of us today You know, it's become a cliche, but cliches are true for a reason. They're cliches because they're true. We're so absorbed in technology. We have all these devices. You know, I just got my first cell phone 2 weeks ago.
Wow, and I thought I was bad. I resisted for a long time, too.
Yeah, I was coerced into it. I really didn't want it. And I can already feel it infiltrating itself into my life.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
This need to check it every 15 seconds is terrible.
I know. It drives you crazy.
So we're all looking to lead fulfilling lives. We're looking to be happy. And yet we're more and more distracted. And I think one of the big mistakes we make is that we think the things that we think are going to make us happy are really just distracting us from being unhappy. And if we work to cultivate a view of life that we see the good, we see the positive, we value the time we have with family, with friends, we value what we can give back to the community, those are the things that really give us a sense of happiness and contentment. But it's a discipline. It's like anything else. We have to train ourselves to think in a certain way, and that's what I hope this book is going to offer people.
Well, the basis of free will, right, is we can choose how we want to see things. Some of us just aren't really good at it, I guess would be the best way to put it.
That's true, and we've been taught that we don't have control over our emotions or our attitudes, and we really do. We have much more control than we're led to think, and that is very true. It's a function of our free will. We have to decide that we're going to see the world differently, that we're going to approach life in a different way.
Final question for you. The Mona Lisa's on the cover. What's the story behind that?
Oh, boy. Yeah, the Mona Lisa is probably the most famous image in the world. She's a woman of mystery. And I started involving her because of the smile, which everybody wonders, why is she smiling? But as I started looking into it, she's so fascinating. The techniques that Leonardo da Vinci used, he was so far ahead of his time. They've done X-rays to discover layers and layers beneath the painting, history of the painting, how it was stolen, how it was recovered. There is really so much that we can learn from the Mona Lisa. And she's sitting there. She is so content. She's so serene. She has a little bit of other emotions mixed in. And the idea is we're not supposed to be in a state of serenity all the time. Life's complicated. And because it's complicated, we have to deal with the ups and the downs and the good and the bad. It's not a contradiction to being happy.
Proverbial Beauty, Secrets for Success and Happiness from the Wisdom of the Ages. Rabbi Yonason Goldson. You can get your website, yonasongoldson.com. You can get the book at amazon.com as well. Fascinating stuff and a great discussion. I learned a lot in 30 minutes. I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting me. It was wonderful. Very nice.
852-TALK, 800-564-KKOH. We'll be back after news traffic and weather. Jim Fannin's ready to go here on News Talk 780 KOH.
Now more of the Dan Mason Show. Hear Rush Limbaugh.
The big voice on the right.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk 780 KOH.
All right, we are back. Dan Mason, News Talk 780 KOH. Great Reno Balloon Race is not too far away because Labor Day is not too far away, folks. It's the weekend after, September the 11th through the 13th, Rancho San Rafael Park with News Talk 780 KOH there broadcasting live special edition, Reno's Morning News with Ross and Monica. Look for the Thompson Garage Stores Mobile Command Center, 5 till 9 Friday morning, Saturday and Sunday, 4:30 until 8:30. You love the balloon race, so do we. Bring your radio along or get our free KOH app. You can listen on your phone or your tablet. It's free from your app store or just check our website, kkoh.com. All right, let's turn to our good friend Tony Tuoto is here from the Douglas County Republican Party, which played a big part in Saturday's Basque Fry event, the inaugural Basque Fry at Corley Ranch. I had a blast, Tony. That was. I don't know if it was better than folks expected or not, but I don't think it could have been a whole lot better than it turned out.
It turned out a lot better than I thought it would. It was absolutely fantastic to have four of the top-tier candidates come out to Gardnerville, Nevada, and spend so much time as I did was just, it was amazing.
You had the opportunity to escort Ted Cruz around the area. That had to be interesting on a number of levels, because let's be honest, all of the candidates, they were going from one place to the next. We had them, and then we had folks next to us. The newspaper people were there, the TV people were there. Everybody wanted a little piece of it. And, boy, after a while, I don't know how they do it, because it's got to drive them kind of crazy. But what was your experience from just getting, you know, taking Ted around to the various people and, you know, shaking hands and talking to folks? What was the reaction you got from folks who were there?
It was very impressive to watch. What a great man. He, you know, he flew all the way out here. I'm sure he was tired, but he didn't show it one lick. He, as soon as he got there, he organized all the local press to do about a 5-minute press conference.
Right.
And he got that taken care of, which was nice. And then he spent the rest of the day just talking to people, shaking hands. He never said no to anybody. He shook everybody's hand who came up. He took pictures with people. He was hugging people. He listened to people. There were quite a few activists there who had papers they wanted him to see and points. And he looked over them. It was very genuine.
He probably gets an awful lot of that no matter where he goes, I'm guessing.
I can't imagine doing that every day, 12 hours a day. I mean, it's just going to heat up from here on out, because I was exhausted just trying to follow him around in the heat and everything. But he kept smiling. He kept taking pictures. It was very impressive to see someone like that.
And it was really nice. I mean, there were over 1,700 people who had the opportunity to be there who had had purchased tickets. And I was trying as best I could from the 4 hours we were there live on the air, which was just a blast. We had a ton of – I may have been the most fun I've had on the radio ever, because it was just – it was nuts for about 4 hours in a row. And people were coming and people were going. And I'm like, who's here? Yeah, sure, bring them in.
And you had air conditioning, so you were doing good.
You know, I think the candidates liked that a little bit too. They kind of worked out nicely for us there, you know. Good to think ahead. But the reaction from the people, just to be able to experience that, I think was pretty special. And they're out sharing, though, you know, they're sharing that with everybody they know now. So as we head toward 2016, that's pretty impressive. And when we went to the early caucus here in Nevada, this is pretty much what we had in mind, right?
Exactly. I think that was just a really wise move for our leadership to get us closer, because otherwise these people wouldn't have really probably come out. You know, we have, what, 7 electoral votes?
Yeah.
Which is good, but not nearly as much as some of the other states.
In the
where
scheme
they
of
want
things,
to spend,
yeah, we're not California or New York, for sure.
Right, exactly. And so for them to come out, it was a great event. My hat's off to Adam Laxalt. I'm very impressed. I think he's definitely a person we want to keep our eye on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know a lot of people are newer here in Nevada, but Adam's grandfather was a senator and was a close friend and colleague of Ronald Reagan's.
Mm, yeah.
And his grandfather used to have these Basque Fry events. So Adam is
not
a
only here, but in
idea.
Washington.
Yeah,
which, right?
Yeah, I would love to see some of the Washington politicians eat some lamb fries.
Yeah, that would be fun. So it was good. To get a chance to... You know, I wrote on my blog on our website, kkoh.com, you know, gee, maybe I just interviewed the next president. And that's heady stuff was the word that I used.
I heard several people say, you know, I think I might have just shaken the hand of the next president, which
no, we don't
in
know.
Gardnerville, Nevada, that's a pretty exciting thing to do out of the Corley Ranch. And it was just beautiful weather, a beautiful place to be, and to have the presidential candidates come to visit us was quite astounding.
And hats off to the Corleys for hosting, you know, that event that day, because that was pretty crazy out there.
That was a lot of work. I mean, they were figuring, you know, 750 cars. They had to park a car every 10 seconds. You know, all those things you have to think about. It's a lot of work. And we had the sheriffs were there supporting, giving security and making sure everything ran smoothly, the highway patrolmen out on the street,
yep,
helping to guide traffic. It was just a well-organized event, and I'm very proud to be a part of it, especially to do something so nice for Northern Nevada like that.
So you had the duty of escorting Ted Cruz around there. I mean, is he your guy, or are you like me? You're kind of in the non-committal mode at this point.
At this point, I would be happy if any one of those four that spoke that day, Carla Fiorini, Dr. Mm-hmm. Ben Carson, Senator Ted Cruz, or Governor Walker, were our president. I think they're all fantastic people, very well qualified. They all love our country. At this point, though, each day I think I change who I would back. I do like Donald Trump. I know some people might be cringing right now, but he's a wild card. But I love the fact that he doesn't have to take money from anybody, and so he doesn't have to listen to the Washington cartel, as Ted Cruz calls it.
I love that word, too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, I mean, our country is just heading the wrong direction at 80 miles per hour.
And whether Trump ends up, you know, with the nomination or not, I still don't think long-term that's going to happen, but everything that's been said about him to this point has been kind of proven wrong. So, you know, you got to kind of hedge your bets just a little bit. But you're right. I think you touched it right there. He's resonated with a lot of people who are just tired, as Ted Cruz said, and as several of the others, they all have said this to one form or another. We're just tired of the way things work in Washington, D.C. They're out of touch with what's going on in Gardnerville, Nevada.
I agree, and I'm sure the Nevadans, we're all very familiar with debt and what debt is. I mean, I look at it as if you had a family here who was making $60,000 and they had credit card debt of $75,000 and a house debt of, say, $350,000, that's kind of where our country is. Mm-hmm. We've got an $18.5 trillion debt. Our GDP is about $17 trillion. So we have more debt, annual debt, than we have income. And so I'm sure some of the Nevadans know what that feels like. I've been in that situation. You know, I'm a real estate agent, and my wife and I are building a ranch. And when the real estate market crashed, we went to the credit cards, and we're coming out of that hole now, thank goodness. But it's a horrible feeling, and I don't think the people in Washington are even trying to come out of the hole. They just keep digging deeper and deeper.
No, I saw the figure again the other day, and it gets revised from time to time. But the national debt represents $53,000 for each and every one of us.
And how much is it for the actual people that are working, that are actually paying it?
Well,
that's a scary number. I don't even want to know.
Well, a lot of what we heard Saturday and a lot of what we've been hearing from many of the candidates is that dissatisfaction with Washington. Here in the state of Nevada, the Republican Party statewide and even in the county have got some challenges ahead because of what happened in this past legislature, and as a result, we've got some folks now are out trying to get a repeal process in place for, if not all of the tax increase, at least for the commerce tax portion of it, which resembles last fall's margins tax. From the perspective of the Douglas County Republican Party, what are your thoughts on what happened and where we're going?
Well, some of the words I'm going to describe what happened, I'm not allowed to say on the air, so I won't.
We got the delay on, just in case.
It felt like we got kicked in the face. We elected on the national level, we got the House and the Senate, and then they just gave Obama whatever budget he wanted. We got kicked in the face, and then we get a first time we get control of the House and the Senate, the Assembly and the Senate in Nevada. And they didn't get campus carry. They didn't do this. They didn't get voter ID. And then they went and raised a bunch of taxes on us. We got kicked in the face again. And it's heartbreaking.
And even some of the reforms that did pass, like prevailing wage, for example, then at the last minute, it got pulled back.
Right. And we did get the education reform, which is, it's a first step. It's not perfect yet, but it's a first step.
Right.
I'm a big fan of Ronald Reagan, and he was always annoyed a bit by conservatives because they wanted everything done right away.
Yeah.
And if you look at what the liberals do, they do it in baby steps. So I was happy that our legislator got that, and I like to be positive, A lot of people wanted to quit afterwards and turn in their Republican card, and it's just, to me, that's not the way to do it. You need to fight. You need to keep fighting. I mean, look what our Patriots went through to get this country. I mean, we can't keep our Republican card. So what we've done in Douglas and Carson is we have the Nevada 80, which is a repeal on the commerce tax.
Right.
And I believe it went to legal on Friday, so it should be coming out in the next week or two. And then you'll see people out with petitions around. And so if you see those people and you want to repeal that tax, please go up to them and sign it.
So it's just that portion of what happened we're talking about.
Chuck Muth has another bill that's repealing the entire bill. And we feel it might be easier with our limited resources to just go after the commerce tax. And it's kind of interesting. Assemblyman Jim Wheeler told us the other day at one of our meetings, it's kind of exciting, I did not know this, that if we get this Nevada 80 on the ballot,
right,
even if we don't pass it, that means the legislators aren't allowed to change the rates on the commerce tax.
I saw his comments about that the other day, so yeah.
Which is quite fantastic, because this whole commerce tax they have now is just the start. I mean, if you look at how they started the federal income tax with the 16th Amendment, and it was between 1% and 7%. It's just all baby steps. Then it went up to 94%.
And there, there's a lot of discussion as to the size of the tax increase, as to some of the things that were done. Most everybody agrees our education system isn't what we want it to be. It's getting to where we want to be is where a lot of the disagreements come into place. But really, from the voter perspective, I think the most anger, and we just did a half an hour on anger here just a few minutes ago, you know, with the rabbi, it's not so much that they did it, it's that they did it after saying they would not. And that's what makes most people mad.
And after 80% of the Nevadans voted no on it, that's yeah. the most disheartening thing, is they just kicked us in the face, said, we know better. We're part of the Nevada establishment, I'd like to say, which is saddening right. because I can understand it happened in Washington, but to happen in Nevada is just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I understand. Well, great to have you here. It was a great event on Saturday. I hope we're going to see some more of it as we head forward. A long way to go until November of 2016, that's for sure. And that's why a lot of people, as popular as Trump is right now, it's a year away. And generally speaking, who's ahead in the polls a year out doesn't end up getting there anyway. So, but he's breaking all the rules so far. He may break that one too.
That may be my favorite part about Trump. Even if he doesn't get the election, he's teaching the candidates that, you know what, you don't have to take what the press tells you. You can challenge them. You don't have to be Mr. Nice Guy. You can say, no, you're wrong. Or, you know what, if someone boycotts, you say, too bad. We're going to make money anyways, because we know we're speaking for the American people. And no matter how loud the establishment speaks out, or how loud the liberals and progressives come out with these phony campaigns and make it sound like the entire country is against you, you stand up for what you believe in, because you've been to Gardnerville, Nevada on Corley Ranch, and you heard the people speak.
Yeah, and you know, the best thing that has come out of all of this with Donald Trump is, regardless of whether you agree with all of his positions or not, whether you agree with what he said about illegal immigration, we're suddenly spending a lot more time talking about it in substantive ways that hadn't been happening prior to that. And in the end, that's going to be a good thing for America.
Yes, if we could do something about it, not just talk about it. But that's the start. That's the very start. You know, when I was talking about the debt and all that, that's another point when you talk about immigration. If someone does have $60,000 in income and $75,000 in credit card debt, they probably shouldn't keep adopting more kids or having more horses on their property.
You've
got to stop the spending, and you can't do it by allowing more and more people to come in that I understand they need a better life and we should help them, but maybe we should help Mexico become a better country to take better care of their citizens and not allow them all just to pour on the border.
Yeah, there you go. That is Tony Tuoto from the Douglas County GOP. You want folks to get involved. If folks want to, in Douglas County, want to get involved and help out in the Republican Party, how do they do it?
One of the great ways is to get on douglasgop.org. I will do a little caveat with that. We lost our webmaster. We're a bunch of capitalists down in Douglas County. He got a better job offer. He's now in Las Vegas. So if anybody wants to be our new webmaster, come on down.
There we go. Let's fill that position first.
douglasgop.org.
Thanks, Tony. Great to see you.
Thank you very much.
447. Right now, traffic and weather together on News Talk 780 KOH. One more check on the show. Here's Jake Parker.
You're listening to Dan Mason. Sometimes loud, always on target. The great one, Mark Levin, tonight at 6 on News Talk 780 KOH.
All right, we are back. Final segment of the Dan Mason Show for a Tuesday here at News Talk 780 KOH. Let's grab a phone call before we go. Hi, Jim. You're on KOH. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Dan. I'm the conservative curmudgeon who met you Saturday at the Laxalt event. And
yes, said, indeed.
You were more handsome than he thought you would be. Well, you know, I wasn't hitting on you. I was just pulling your leg. But anyway, well, you're not all that bad looking a guy. But
what's going on?
Stuff, pardon?
Go ahead. We got about a minute and a half left, so go ahead.
Okay, won't take that long. This Hillary stuff reminds me of my 20-year career in the Navy, which ended in 1974. And I had a very high security clearance, went through a very thorough investigation to get that. And I was just thinking that if they would have done the same thing to Hillary, the lost law firm records back in Arkansas would have been enough to disqualify her for handling any security material.
Yeah, they've been getting away with stuff like this for far longer than they should have, going back to the 90s. I'm with you on that one.
Okay, nice chatting with you.
Thank you, Jim. Good to see you Saturday at Corley Ranch. Before we wrap things up, I'm gone for the rest of the week. Samantha Stone will be here in the big chair for the rest of the week, back on Monday. You probably remember not too long ago hearing the story of someone who was the, I think he was the head of the foundation, Jared Fogle, the Subway spokesman. The head of his foundation got busted for child pornography. And the police showed up at Jared's house and had a warrant, confiscated a computer, and there was speculation that, gee, what are they doing at Jared's house? Hadn't heard much about it until now. Subway suspended its relationship with him pretty much right away, pending the outcome. Well, apparently they were on to something. According to a television station in Indiana, news came out within the last hour and a half. Jared's going to plead guilty to child pornography charges. Fox 59 television station said after seizing electronics and stuff from his home in Zionsville, which is a suburb of Indianapolis, they said he's going to enter a plea tomorrow. And the U.S. Attorney's Office would be holding a news conference tomorrow to tell us the details. So I guess that's it for Jared and Subway. Thanks for listening today. Stick around for John Sanchez. He is on the way next here at News Talk 780 KOH. Again, Samantha Stone will be here for the show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll be returning on Monday. Ross and Monica start your day on Reno's Morning News tomorrow at 5. John Sanchez and the guys coming up next, followed by the great one, Mark Levin, at 6. Have a good week, folks. Dan Mason here, News Talk 780 KOH.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.